Now, Hollywood and the politicians who run this country look at America as a bunch of zombies. And so they're saying to the American people, we're here. We're dead and get used to it. The American zombies. In other words, they're saying to you, Hollywood is saying to you in their movies and television shows, you are a bunch of zombies.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here once again, the One Great Work Warriors, with another roundtable discussion. And this one is going to be, if anything, is going to be interesting, guys, because this is something that I'm looking forward to chatting about. And I hope it's going to get you guys thinking. And this topic is the zombie mindset. Let's go ahead, guys, and kick this off. Chris, let's get into the zombie mindset, because this is going to be an interesting discussion.
Yeah, but it's so hard for me to get into the zombie mindset, Rick, because I'm just so alive and awake and curious. But it has not one of my aspects of curiosity my whole life has been trying to understand that aspect I see in so many people around me that don't have that curiosity, that will, or that drive to say why, to understand why things are the way they are, to keep asking those questions. And so I'm always trying to encourage folks to look at the deeper aspects of life, to consider the why, you know, and to look at the context of things and look at things from a different perspective. And so I thought to make this show a little bit more fun and unique, we could look at some of the Hollywood and fictional aspects of our society and take them apart and use them as a way to metaphorically look at what's really going on deep down in our culture and in ourselves. And recently I've been on the topic on the End Evil podcast of symbology, of studying symbolism, you know, the study of actually looking into symbolism. And this symbolism in the zombie motif that we see all through Hollywood, all through comic books, all through paperback books, it's so prevalent that it's mind-blowing. And you have to ask yourself, why are people so fascinated with the zombie thing? Why would they keep watching this sort of disgusting play of, you know, these undead creatures trying to eat the brains out of the alive creatures? It's a strange fascination, and it's a strange obsession, and we're going to really get deep into that, why that is, in this episode. And I'd like to hear all these guys' perspectives on this whole idea. And I'm going to go ahead and pass it to my man, Derek.
How's it going in California? Bonjour from France. And geez, it's hard for me not to like hold back a lot of laughter thinking about this stuff. And because, yeah, I don't know, like just like the phonetics of the word and and just like just the sluggish mind state that I felt like, you know, like a lot of us have already been there. And it's not always a thing to laugh about, of course, you know, and like this video is not to be like punching down on folks per se. That's not the, you know, the intention of this video, yet it's going to be, you know, brought up because, you know, shit needs to be clowned out. You know, like there is that, you know, element of comedy where we can, you know, like there's that humiliation factor where people can kind of like understand like their head is in their ass and kind of try to remove that from, you know, within. So Hollywood, I'll be going over there maybe next month. And I'll be hanging out with Chris. But so anyways, something that I've noticed, and we spoke about this in a couple of videos already, of just how, you know, like there's like the flavors of programming, you know, like we did the shitcoms and all that stuff. And there's like subgenres within subgenres. And yeah, like Chris, I've been really fascinated as well, like in a uneasy, like, feeling about it the whole time of just like, you know, what is the fascination of people like drawn to horror movies? And I'm thinking like, especially with women, because, you know, I've noticed there's like decent, you know, popularity amongst a good amount of women, at actually, like, people that I know or heard about, or you just like see around, whatever, right? I'm sure you guys can relate, or in observation or what have you. But and what have we to, you know, like, gander across, you know, the movie cinemas that I haven't been to in years? I haven't watched a movie in a long ass fucking time. I'll watch some movie reviews just to, like, you know, get the slightest pulse of whatever the fuck's, you know, being churned out in the fucking bullshit sludge factory of unbelievable, you know, unconscious minutia. But anyways, not to ramble on, but yeah, what I notice is that, you know, like, within the horror, you know, genre, there's like subgenres, and like this zombie subgenre is, you know, blown the fuck up. And, you know, we have these fucking series and like, how many movies per year? You know, what's the quota these days? You know, you got your cop movies, your comedy movies, your rom-com, and whatever the, you know, action movies, superhero. Everyone wants to be a superhero and identify whatever the fuck, you know, like, it's, people don't understand just like allegories and archetypes of fucking, you know, attributes of consciousness anyways. And what we're talking about right now is just, you know, how there's been such a dumbing down and quickening of that in relation to how, you know, movies, you see, you know, like the premiere movies of zombies, you know, they're kind of slow and, you know, like more deranged, and like you could see people being able to, you know, scurry around them easier. And what do we have today? Like, they're, it's like zombies on fucking steroids or some shit, you know, they're climbing walls and whatever the fuck, you know. So I, there's like interesting things to like observe and correlate and pick apart. And that's what we're going to do in this discussion tonight. And yeah, just like, you know, why another zombie movie? Like, they just want to make it more gory. They have, we have more, you know, technology, CGI, even though, like, have you guys noticed the trend of, you know, like higher technology and weaker dialogue and like quality of fucking movies and all that shit? So yeah, there's that. And just like, why are folks like Stephen King so overly curious on, like, you know, like their whole life is dedicated to horror? What is he, like, produced like 1,000 fucking novels and stories on this shit? Like, you know, like, is he possessed by any kind of fucking entities? You know, what's the fucking over curiosity of this? And do we actually see proper allegories of, you know, how, like, mankind has just become, you know, overly saturated with trying to play God and whatever the fuck, and, you know, created this inverted Ouroboros or whatever the fuck, and like there's like this, you know, inverted human. And that's kind of what we mentioned with the symbolism, Chris, you know, the inverted pentagram of where the quintessential human being head is in the earth. You know, it's supposed to be in, at that stellar level, you know, harnessing the elements with the feet, you know, firmly planted, you know, on earth. But, you know, dark forces have inverted that. And how many programs have, you know, conditioned people to actually live this out, which is unfortunate. And this is, you know, part of the reason why we're doing a video to encourage people and light a fire up people's asses to, you know, burn that shit in the alchemical Athanor. Yeah, I'm gonna ramble on too much, so I'm gonna pass it off to whoever. I'm not gonna name names, but whoever's feeling it.
I'll jump in because, you know, I've also seen a increase with the whole zombie hysteria, and I want to say, you know, like, I've always seen it as a symbolic representation of things, but like Derek said, you know, like, you had to. The earlier 60s or like the 40s, 50s, and 60s zombies who move slow. Now you have the modern zombie, you know, like, who has strength. And I want to say, you know, that's, they're like, it's symbolic of like the double speak of ignorance is strength, you know, because, you know, like, the zombie is symbolic of a apathetic person, a slow-witted person. And, you know, you can see the degradation in consciousness, especially with modern, you know, man and woman. And how they become so ignorant that most people think that being ignorant is a form of strength. and true intelligence, you know, isn't really cared for. So, you know, like you throw out this notion that, you know, ignorance is strength, you know, so let's break down what the word zombie means. That way we all can get a better understanding of what we are, you know, talking about, you know, how relating to the dead. That's the first definition. The second definition is authority figures. That's a lesser known, you know, modern version of a zombie. And then you can also say a reanimated corpse. You know, figuratively, you're talking about a apathetic person, you know, so a person who's lost their emotional connection, or you can say a person who's lost their spiritual connection, you know, their spiritual essence, you know, that human potentiality of spirit, of care, of being able to feel. And that's why I've always associated the symbolic, figurative, you know, narrative of a zombie to the toxic mind virus of moral relativism. Because when you look at what a zombie does, it is a creature who has no intelligence, who doesn't think, who has no spiritual essence and doesn't care. And therefore, they feed on other human beings. So that is equivalent and symbolic of the whole dog eat dog world that people try to project in society. And, you know, by just abusing and taking advantage of other people, you are symbolically eating away, not just at your own spiritual essence, but at theirs, their ability to care, because you are perpetuating trauma. You know, you are causing more trauma, then therefore that traumatic cycle, you know, continues to get worse and worse. And as you are stepping on other people, you are symbolically eating them. You know, as they say, in a doggy dog world, do as you please, you know, as long as they're, you know, as long as I don't get caught, you know, hell, I can go and steal from someone. Hell, I can go and, you know, murder, you know, rape, just pretty much do whatever I want. The whole satanic mindset. And that's what I really see the main allegorical meaning behind the whole zombie. The whole zombie mindset. It is the Wetiko mindset. It is the mindset of the takers. It has been described so many times, but it's really just the negation of empathy. Like you have lost your ability to care. And that's, you know, like why you see them eating of the, you know, have the human flesh, because human flesh is literally one of the most unhealthiest things to put in your body. It will literally start to break down your body, because it's so dense. And people who have eaten human flesh, you can see how, you know, like how the body starts to, you know, like, have degrade. Well, symbolically, what is man doing? It is consuming toxins that are so unhealthy that is literally eroding our ability to think, our ability to feel, and our ability to care. So, you know, how the zombie is all about consuming. Well, is that not what human beings are doing? We are just consuming. So to consume something means to destroy, to use up, to eat, to waste. Well, the more and more we consume, not only are we, you know, poisoning our own body, but our environment, and also, you know, the planet. And when you look at any zombie movie, no matter where it was, like, all of the areas that the zombies were located were always in, like, bad conditions, bad health environments, bad areas, because all they do is consume. They just take, you know, it's like a very low level animalistic, you know, mindset. And then too, when you look at the whole notion of the zombie, you can only really become a zombie if there is a penetration of your inner kingdom. And what I mean by that is there was always some kind of virus, or there was always some kind of, you know, blood being taken in, or you had to be bitten. So, hell, again, there's some outside force or entity that penetrates your inner, you know, kingdom. And that's representative of a toxicology, a moral relativism, because it, you know, in society, we have all this external forces who are injecting these zombie-like ideas, these mind viruses. And once it penetrates our inner kingdom, aka our mindset, then we start to poison our own selves. And then it starts to poison the soul, and it starts to spread throughout the body. Then therefore, it's, is projected out really in the form of wrong action and violations within, you know, natural law. Then also we go and teach these same zombie-like toxic ideologies to our kids. So we are spreading that virus symbolically, just as though, you know, they would do in the whole, you know, the whole zombie movies, except we're not biting people, but we're spreading, you know, this mind virus, and it's penetrating their inner kingdoms. And then therefore that's how this mind virus continues to spread. So I always see it as a symbolic representation of moral relativism. And I'm done.
I'll build on it, Brandon. I love it. I like what all you guys are saying. And I definitely will build on what Brandon is saying. He said a couple of things that I think is really important, that you're saying the people, you know, you lose the ability of care. And I would also add on top of that, that when I think of zombies, I think of things that don't think. They're just driven. And so I kind of came at this from the angle of how I've always seen, like when I'm watching, if I'm seeing a protest or I'm seeing like riots, or even back just a few years ago with mask wearing and getting the shots, and what's even probably more relevant now is the elections. This is when I start to see these groups of people forming. That's when I start thinking of this. What comes to me is the zombie horde. That's what I think of. I always say to myself, like, God, look at this. It's like a horde of people that just are getting together. And it's just this mass group of people. And that's kind of where my mind goes when I see that. And so I always think like zombies and like then modern society, like how do they kind of intermingle? And believe it or not, I've seen most zombie movies. I've seen a lot of the series, and my logo is a zombie, but I'm not a huge zombie fan. Believe it or not, it's not my first go-to for something. And there's a long story why I got the logo. But anyways, I'll have to tell it sometime. But that's what I'm just saying, is that I'm not a huge fan of it, but I do. That is what I think of when I see these big groups of people. And then it leads into, for me, the zombies, that they signify the dangers of collectivism and then groupthink, because that's when you start to see how people start just thinking as a group, which to me is so dangerous, and for a lot of different reasons. Because what are they like, think about that. Like, what do they represent? Like, zombies, to me, they represent the loss of critical thinking. It's more leading by emotion and how you feel. It's this drive. Like, you're not really, there's no critical thinking going on. That's another thing I think of. It's like this need, this emotion. And I think a lot of people get wrapped up into that when I speak about these things that I just brought up, when it comes to like the election now, when it comes to back what was going on with the mask wearing and riot, like all these things I just said, riots and that. That's what I think of, that there's no real, it's more led by emotion. And what I find really interesting is I watch a lot of interviews where you see people that will go like man on the street, and they will go into these groups, these large groups, and they start interviewing people. And I love it when they do. And they kind of ask, they ask the typical questions, and then they get the knee jerk reaction. But I love it when you see the odd, really good person that does these type of interviews, and they start going digging a little deeper and harder, and start asking tougher questions. And 9 times out of 10, the person cannot even really give them a great answer. They end up usually walking away frustrated or getting mad because they can't answer it. They're there. A lot of the times I think they're there because it's the popular thing to do, or it's making them feel a certain way. They want to be part of a group. But when you really drill down into it, they don't know why they're there. Like, they don't even really believe what they're there for. They're just part of this group. That's what I find interesting. So the last thing I'll say is too, is when I think of zombies too, and what's going on, is that a lot of it's usually goal oriented. The goal is all that matters. And then you are basically conditioned to follow without reason, and you give up your what are you giving up? You're giving up your individual thought. If you have a certain goal that you're trying to achieve, and it doesn't matter how you get to that goal, then ethics certainly are going out the window in a lot of the cases. Morality might be given up and put aside, because it is that goal, that the group has this goal to reach, and it doesn't matter how they get to it, who gets in the way, who gets stepped on, and that's all that matters. So, and then I think about what steers it, like what steers, this has to be steered. And it's steered perfectly. And we see that in the news, basically, if you want to call it that. It's nothing but lies, but the news, you see them steering it, and certainly 1,000% social media. You look at any of these platforms like TikTok and Instagram and YouTube, name them, X, you know, you see it being steered, and that is what they use. It is definitely being steered, and it's a group. It's just this, I just see this mob mentality, and it's a very, as I say, collectivism and groupthink, and that's so dangerous. So that's where I'll end, and you guys can build on that and give me your thoughts, but that's kind of what I think about when I think of zombies in the modern day, when I see these large groups, and I think a lot of them don't even know why they're there, or even truly believe in what they are there for, because of it being engineered so and steered. And I'll pass it on to whoever wants to add on to that.
I'll go. Yeah, when it comes to zombies, and you guys brought up this topic, it's like, I don't know much about zombies. You know, I never really liked that kind of genre of like horror movies and stuff. So I never really thought too much about zombies, except for like, why the hell do people like zombies? You know, I could see people driving around with zombie bumper stickers. And my friend's ex-wife, when they were married, she had a license plate that said "Die Zombie," and I was like, "Why does she have a license plate?" And I asked her, but I don't even understand what she's like. Why, you know, that was a long time ago. But like, my question is like Walking Dead came out. I was like, I'm like, why do people like this so much? Like, this is entertaining. Like, I don't find this entertaining. Just watching people eat people and then they turn into like Walking Dead, right? But I started to think about it more, you know, and like a lot of stuff like Brandon was saying, this whole metaphorical thing, and that when people are watching the show, they're identifying with the protagonists in the movies or the show, but it seems like subconsciously they don't realize they're really identifying with the zombies, like, and that's the trick. A programming trick being played on them. So, you know, if you get a little deeper and you think about it, I just never really thought about it, except like, why the hell is this entertaining? So, and then, so then that's like another thing is the metaphorical, like I always would use the term sheeple, but now I see, oh, zombies are the same thing as sheeple, except zombies look more like people, right? So today I was even walking through the supermarket, and I was just like pretending everyone was zombies. It kind of like, they have their phones and everything. And just, there's a lot of like people who just are off in supermarkets and Walmarts. I bet you could walk through any Walmart in America and pretend people are zombies. If you're like us, it would be easy for you to see them. But yeah, I mean, I don't have too much more to say about it, except, you know, that it's not something I really ever thought about too much, but it totally makes sense how it's metaphorical. There's a whole zombie thing. So I'll pass it to you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jim. I'd like to ask you what you learned when we were learning about zombies this month, but I'll wait until our meeting. So I just want to touch on what every one of you said, which was spectacular. Like, you guys just blew my mind away with everything, the moral relativism, with being off, because I feel like going to Walmart, like, you're just instantly hit with that programming, that radio music, people walking like zombies. I mean, they just consume food, the GMOs, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe they'll even show them their vax card just to get in. I mean, I'm vaccinated, unfortunately. I need to do something about it. But yeah, it's very easy to see a zombie. You know, I might be surrounded by zombies right now. It's a scary thing. But I just want to touch on the correlation between zombies and drug addicts, because I feel like that's prevalent in my life right now. With known ones. So I think there's a familiarity with it, which is astonishing. So as I was doing my research, I came across this drug called Xylazine. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. X-Y-L-A-Z-I-N-E. And that is a non-opioid sedative or animal tranquilizer. And this drug is being mixed in with fentanyl. So, you know, the drugs come in and fentanyl is mixed with, I don't know, heroin or cocaine. And, you know, people are taking these drugs and they get hooked on it. And this is linked to deaths, people overdosing themselves. And when people use the Xylazine, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing this, it causes sedation, difficulty breathing, dangerously low blood pressure, slowed heart rate, wounds can become infected, and it causes severe withdrawal symptoms. So, yeah, they use this to enhance effects of other drugs like heroin or cocaine, and it's a bad drug. And I think Jim shared a picture of Philadelphia. That's people are hooked on it there, and you literally have people, their heads are basically touching the ground, like you mentioned, Derek, with the inversion of the what's it called, the human body. And it's a real thing. It's scary. And you know, the drug increases its value because it's so potent. And these drug users, they, as soon as they regain consciousness, they're so hooked that they want the next round. So it's like a non-ending cycle. And it's scary, man, you know, how drugs make people zombies. And I just wanted to share also the metaphorical similarities, right, used in literature or pop culture, illustrating the effects of addiction. So there's the loss of control, which both a drug addict and a zombie can be seen as having a lost autonomy. The addict is controlled by cravings, and the zombie is controlled by an insatiable hunger, usually for flesh or brains. And I know we touched on how the zombies, the old ones, just wanted the brains, right? And I actually came across this one meme that there's a zombie trying to eat someone's brain, and he said, "I believe in flat earth." And he was like, "Oh, hell nah." So, like, to me, what that represents is that, you know, if you actually, because a flat earther, right, like a believer, first of all, you shouldn't believe in anything except yourself. Like, if you're believing in illusions, like, you're a zombie. So, like, zombies don't eat other zombies is my point. And then another similarity is a mindlessness, like Rick mentioned, and deterioration. And the drug that I talked about, it actually basically makes your skin zombie-ish because your flesh actually rots. It's disgusting. And I'm sorry for anybody going through that. They need help. And the obsessive need, just as zombies are consumed by their hunger, addicts are driven by the overwhelming need for the next fix, often losing sight of everything else in their life. And isolation from society, drug addiction can lead to isolation from family, friends, and the community, much like zombies, who are often depicted as outcasts from the living. And then, just to end it, violence and desperation. In extreme cases, addiction can lead individuals to desperate, sometimes violent behaviors to fulfill their cravings, much like zombies attack to satiate their hunger. And this is the reason why I touch on this, because I noticed how easy it can be for a zombie to just be violent, and we have to, you know, draw our boundaries and not get bitten. So I'll pass it to you, Chris.
Thanks, Jerry. That was a little scary, chilling, because all too true, in the physical world, we do see people, especially on the pharmaceutical, I think is much of a bigger issue, because it's not seen as, you know, like the drugs, the street drugs, which everybody has been kind of indoctrinated into believing. The pharmaceutical drugs are insidious. And man, that I might come back around to that. But for this particular section, what I really wanted to kind of get into is the psychological aspect of this conversation, you know. Like, I really like how Jim says, like, it never really appealed to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it is a natural thing that should appeal to it. Like, I remember in school, like, there were certain kids that would get really obsessed with, like, the black fingernails and wearing all black and the music that is very obsessed with death. And I'm not saying that's bad completely, because like I've talked about symbolism, there's a good and a bad way of dealing with things, right? But usually someone, when they're dressing like death, when they're talking a lot about death, when they're thinking a lot about death, it's because something traumatic in their life is making death seem more attractive than life, right? And so I'm not saying it's all bad to dress and act like death. Like, I actually think, like, Jerry, Mexico, the Day of the Dead celebration, and different tribes all through time have had a way of greeting death cheerfully, a way of understanding death, because it's one of the most one thing. There's only so many things in life that we know for sure, no matter what. And that's number one, that things are going to change. You know, there's going to be change, and then there's going to be death. You know, so it's one of those realities of life that we're all afraid of. And so it makes sense that it manifests in art and that we express our concern about death. But this zombie thing kind of takes it to a whole nother level, because it's adding this element of they're dead, but they're still alive. They can still move around. They can still attack us. Right. And I've always been somebody who's kind of looking at, like, the strategy, trying to understand why. And so I was thinking about, like, who loves this zombie thing? Who's this working out for? You know, it's like, okay, people that are kind of zombie-like, you know, they're going to appreciate zombie-like people because they can fit in, right? You got, like, politicians. If the public act like zombies, that makes it easier for a politician to kind of control them and reel them in. And, you know, they're easier to control, right? So politicians like zombies, you know? Military, you know, the military mindset would love zombies. That works out well for them too. Easier to control. You can just kind of, I mean, although in the movies, the zombies wind up destroying the military every time. For whatever reason, they're getting faster. That's funny how you guys mentioned that with time, the zombie movies. Yeah. Kids who play video games like zombies, right? Why is the fascination with kids? Because you get to shoot the crap out of them. You get to blow them away. You know, and I never remember being sitting inside of I love video games and going to an arcade. I've always loved arcades, but I remember it kind of dawned on me one time, like, there's one of those arcades that's got like two submachine guns, you know, and we got two kids there and they're just blown away. And what's coming is like these 3D images of people. They're people. They're people that are wearing like masks or like biohazard suits. But they're covered up, but you can't really see that they're actually zombies or aliens or whatever. You just know that they're people and you're just blowing them away. And I'm thinking about how many times have these video games recirculated and encouraged this living vicariously through this sort of opportunity you have to just blow away people with advanced machine guns because you can. And you don't really know if they're the enemy or not because their face is hidden, or you know what I mean? And so the zombies is sort of like this way to live vicariously through doing something horrific that you wouldn't otherwise doing. But, oh, in this case, it's okay because they're zombies, right? So, and it also, you know, like the thing you were saying last about getting bitten, it reminds me, it's reminiscent of like getting into a gang. You know, like maybe you have to do a little bit of the crack with the gang members so that now they beat you up to be in their gang. You know, like it's getting jumped in, right? That's what happens with the gang of zombies. You get jumped in and then you're a zombie. It was kind of similar like the vampires, right? And they had their own hierarchy, right? So you're getting sucked into this sort of evil gang, and this evil gang's taken over the world. It's a very true symbol of what has really, you know, happened in our time. And, you know, the lifeless, thoughtless brain is like the lifeless and thoughtless ideas that we're following politically. And ultimately, what it really is talking about, the symbol really represents, pure and simple, is slavery. Is people accepting slavery on a mass scale. Because when you think about it, like the zombie motif, if you trace it back to where it really came from, it came back to this ancient witchcraft that was done in, like, with the voodoo, what we've heard of voodoo, right? And there was these supposed witchcraft shamans that would have, like, almost like half dead people around that were like their slaves that would do everything they wanted. They're people they had brought almost to death, buried, and then given this certain type of plant so that they could reanimate them. So these people were just barely around, which is just like what I've seen, what happens to people that take heavy doses of certain drugs because of, like, antidepressants, for instance, that will do that exact same thing to people where they're shuffling their feet and they can barely move. They're in this messed up state. And that would be done so that they could use them as human mind control slaves. And that is where this term comes from. And it's the dream of the dark occultists. And if you were someone who wanted ultimate power on this planet and you really wanted to control people, like, wouldn't this be your ultimate, like, fantasy to be able to turn people into zombies? And wouldn't you put your money and funds into pharmaceutical companies that create things like that? And find ways to spread it out to the public and give them ideas in their head to make it normalized and desensitize them and keep them in that state of mind where they're at their lowest base desires and exactly what consumerism is. You know, like the one of the famous zombie movies, they're actually walking through a mall, right? And you could, I wanted to find some footage of people, like, on a Black Friday. And then some footage of one of these zombie movies, and, like, how different is it really? It's almost the exact freaking thing. They're not actually biting each other. Well, some of them they probably freaking are, you know? So, you know, if we reconsider what this is really about, this is about us allowing ourselves to be turned into slaves. And look around. How many people seem to appreciate their own slavery and like it? They like being zombies. And that's why we're like, why do people like zombies and the zombie motif? Why do people like slavery? Why do they like politicians and people owning them? You know? And then it all starts to make sense when you see that truth behind it. So I'll pass it off.
Hello, just real quick, because I got to throw it out there. Chris, you talked about RKs and the whole fake gun. And I'm laughing because I'm like, man, kids nowadays don't know anything about that. Because I'm sure we all do. And then malls, kids don't know nothing about malls these days because, you know, you can just order everything online. So
I know they're thinking arcade. What are they talking about?
I know. We're showing how you just...
Some old school shit, man.
Yes.
But I remember that game, Chris. I remember that exact game. It was such a big game in my town, in our arcade, with that one with those two guns. Interesting.
Yeah, it was right around the time where that famous song from the Cranberries came out, you know, Zombie. Na, na, na. That's an international hit.
Yeah, it's a good song, man.
Every single year I've heard it, you know, multiple times in France, especially working in restaurants where, yeah, they're going to play some poop culture music, whatever, whether it be a mixture of, you know, good and bad, whatever. I'm not going to generalize on that. But that is an interesting song, and I've heard different versions of it, and like through the different cadences and like hearing the lyrics over and over, it's actually quite moving. And what comes to mind is, you know, it's like that that divine feminine essence of care that's, you know, I'm wondering where the fuck that is with, you know, some of these females that be so like into, you know, zombie movies or rooting for the antagonist and that kind of stuff, you know, with that, you know, Lilith type of energy. And yeah, there's like, there's been such a fucking war on the feminine for fucking eons, unfortunately, like for all of us. We're still in the middle of hyper-dimensional warfare, and people still don't understand like how the shit is hyping up. And yeah, like these, you know, drugs with the Zy, whatever the fuck it names, people have looked them up and you know, have traced back certain demonic, you know monikers or whatever tied to them. And you could even, you know, flip it where they, you know, got that occult, you know, numerology behind it with, you know, COVID-19 or Divock AI. And why is the CDC posting articles on their own fucking website talking about some kind of fucking zombie apocalypse? The Center of Disease Control. Is zombieism a disease? Like, what is it exactly that they're defining it? And why the fuck do they have any consideration for the eventuality of that, or possibility even? Have they watched too many motherfucking zombie movies, or do they know something that the public doesn't? Or whatever the fuck, right? So one's got to wonder, with the AI nanotech technology, was, you know, the needlecraft part of like the priming of some kind of thing where you can look up, you know, people have, you know, passed away from this, and there's still the nanotech is still active in the corpse. Things to consider. But you know, while I was talking more about the Cranberry song and the Divine Feminine and how it reminds me of yeah, like the, and I don't know if she's like a, you know, got Celtic background or whatever, but you know, in that tradition, they have, you know, like the weeping women, you know, something along the lines. I might get it mixed up or whatever, but y'all can look it up. And it's just, you know, like the grievance. And like there's a sisterhood that would come to certain funerals or, you know, ceremonies for certain things to, you know, pay tribute or, you know, weep over whatever. And that song is kind of reminiscent of that essence where she's kind of addressing like the war stricken veteran a good amount of times, where there's, you know, all this trauma going on in their head and it keeps repeating in there. And, you know, those of us that understand shadow work, the hermetic principles, especially with mentalism and all this stuff, law correspondence, of how they're still, you know, projecting those, you know, unhealed traumas into their, you know, center screen of, you know, their daily existence, unfortunately. And it gets played out quite ugly if people haven't, you know, resolved that to certain degrees. So that's, you know, people operating on the lower senses still and in survival mode, you know, like the R complex of the brain, right? Think about all these things that correlate with, you know, just the domesticated, castrated, cut from the roots, traumatized human being. It doesn't have to be someone that was in a war or whatever. We can, you know, use that more metaphorically or loosely. That applies to so many people that have been under unbelievable fucking duress, coercion, and all these things. And the toxicity of whatever the fuck Walmart or any other place has to offer. Even, you know, unfortunately, some of the organic stuff has, you know, corruptions. I mean, motherfucking Whole Foods, they got GMOs up in that shit or whatever the fuck. Jeff Bezos, do we want to support that motherfucker anyways? Like, what the fuck, yo? And we got zombies writing, you know, and getting on chat GPT to, you know, create scripts to create more zombie movies, another, you know, replays and refried half-baked versions of classic fucking films to rewrite the script. We're living in Orwellian fucking times that can escalate to such a fucking crazy degree if we're not, you know, careful and catch these things, because we never know how this whole AI bullshit is going to play out and how people are going to use these tools for manipulation and, you know, of our worldviews and perceptions of things, and even, you know, looking back at the future and, you know, like modern audiences, what the fuck are they subjected to? I feel so bad. It's so sad, you know, like the days of yesterday, right, Chris? Like, fuck, man, like Freddy Krueger, just, you know, seeing that stuff, that was horrific enough. Like, you know, watching motherfucking, like, Pet Sematary, I after seeing shit like that, I didn't want to watch like horror movies at all. Like, I was like, dude, I can't handle this shit. I was still young at the time, but just imagine, you know, kids these days, you know, not even 10 years old, having so much accessibility to anything at their fucking fingertips. And, you know, this is just a call to conscious parents out there. And yes, we're getting to, you know, Halloween time, and we're still in, the midst of Libra. So keep a healthy, holistic balance out there, or harmony, as, you know, Brandon likes to say, keeping it light as a feather and all that good shit. Voila. Anyone else?
Yeah, man. Michael Myers, a Halloween, scared the crap out of me when I watched that when I was 8 years old, dude. That scared the living shit out of me. Like,
Halloween scared you?
Hell like, yeah.
Wow. I never got scared by that one. It was always Friday the 13th was the one that would mess me up. So Halloween, yeah.
Yeah, but I watched that when I was like 8 years old.
Okay, well, I would do it.
Yeah, and I couldn't sleep. And like literally like every Halloween, like I would have to tell myself, it's not real. But yeah, it just shows, you know, like how this stuff can literally cause trauma in a young mind.
Absolutely.
And, a lot of good points hit. Rick, you pretty much covered the second thing I wanted to talk about, which was the collectivist mindset. You know, like you had the old zombies who would walk, you know, with their hands out. Not everyone just walking out with their hands out and they're looking down, you know, like at their smartphone, you know, like walking in the traffic, like walking into each other. And it's literally so crazy to see, because I know we all have experienced this, and smartphones only came out in what, like 2008. Mm-hmm. And even when they first came out, like not everybody had them. So you're talking about what, like 14 years pretty much since, you know, like since they became like widely used, and now they've taken over, you know? So you have this smartphone horde, you know, people just walking around, you know, like with their smartphones and just looking down. And it's such a dangerous thing to do, like in public, you know, because they're just, you know, going along, you know, checking their TikTok, checking their Twitter, checking their Instagram. You got some people who even trying to walk and live stream, like walk and record. It's like, dude, just put the phone down, man. You know, because it pulls you out of touch with reality. And that's the sad part is, I forgot which movie it was, but you had the mom who was bit, and then she had a baby, and the baby came out as a zombie baby. Well, that's what we see now is you have these zombie parents, and they are creating zombie kids. And then it's this whole cycle of zombification, you know, that's taking over the whole planet. Yeah, so everyone's looking down, forgot their phones, and like everyone's in a stimulus response reactionary, you know, like base, low vibration. And Chris had talked about this, is the whole initiation into the game and how it's this whole like traumatic experience. And like that's what I was, you know, talking about with the whole zombie bite, is it's very traumatic, like to see a loved one, you know, like in those movies, get bit or to get like ripped to shit, like ripped and eaten alive. Like that's very traumatic. Not only if it was to happen in real life, you know, from like any other creature, but, you know, just to view it, you know, because your mind doesn't know that it's a movie. Like the mind thinks that the shit's fucking real. So it's like, oh man, you know, and it starts to desensitize you, you know, to these very violent, you know, images, which man isn't really supposed to see too much. You know, like man isn't supposed to take up and watch all of these violent movies, these violent, you know, images, because that has an effect, has a huge effect. And the last thing that I wanted to talk about when it came to zombies is, you know, you have this whole idea of a reanimated corpse. Well, we also have that same idea, but in a different form of linguistic, in the form of corporations, the whole, you know, court system, the whole legalese. Our whole court system is based on a reanimated corpse. That's really what a corporation is it's just a dead thing that functions as a living thing. You know, like that's why we have the whole legal fiction trap, you know, like this whole legal fiction slave system. And then they use mumbo jumbo, you know, like the whole twisting the words and the whole word magic, the whole word game to deceive people, to get, you know, to get individuals to fall into this whole dead corpse functioning as a living, you know, entity. So then that way they can enslave you and pretty much just make money off of you. So the whole term mumbo jumbo, it was a costume, usually an idol that was used by the locals to spread fear in the women to get them to submit. And that's really what we see with this whole court system, you know, like this whole legal fiction system, is it uses confusing language that is based off deception, and it gets you to fall into the traumatic state of fear. You know, saying if you don't pay up, if you don't do this, you know, we're going to send our goons after you, you know, and they always send you this, you know, letters in all caps, you know, the whole corporation title. If people aren't familiar with that, then they really need to dive deeply and understand it, you know, that they're, you know, there is two of you. Hell, you have a twin, and it's all based on the whole zombie idea, the whole corporation, the whole legal fiction. You know, hell, that was created when you was born and your parents signed you up. Well, I should say signed you up. They were deceived, because it doesn't hold any weight. It doesn't hold any merit in natural law, because it's based on fraud. It's based on deception. So therefore, it is immorally wrong. So therefore, you cannot give up your rights. You cannot sign away your rights. You cannot sign away your spirituality and sign away who you are and sign yourself up for slavery, because it is always inherently immorally wrong. And that's where the moral relativism aspect comes, because if we can't change what right and wrong is when it comes to behavior, then you can't sign a piece of paper and sign yourself up to be a slave, because slavery is always wrong. So then therefore no individual has the right to do that. Doesn't matter how deception it is, it's always false in reality. And that's why they have to create this whole new idea of a second you as a form of a corpse, this dead thing who doesn't exist, but it takes on your identity, it takes on your name, and it takes on everything pretty much, you know, how pretty much that you own, you know, in a sense, according to their whole legalese bullshit fiction, you know. And the corporation means the assumption of a body, a dead thing functioning as a living. And of course you have the word corpse in there. And then like three words that they use a lot of time in this system is debt, D-E-P-T, debt, D-E-P-T-H, and death, D-E-A-T-H. Those three homophones all sound the same, but they all mean three different things, but they all mean to be under something. So you have debt, you know, like to be in debt financially means you are under, and you usually owe somebody something. So you're still under, you know, you're not over, because if you're under something financially, then someone's pretty much has power over you, because you have to give them something, you owe them something, you have to give them money or property or, you know, time or your labor. Then you have debt, you know, debt, you know, which was usually related to water. You know, you go into the depths of the ocean, meaning you're going under, you know, so you're...
They say 6 feet under, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then you have death, because if you have enough depth and then you go in too much depth, you go under, then it's going to put you well under. Yeah. It's going to put you under the ground in depth, in death. And that's where you are buried, because that's what depth is all about. It's the new currency, you know, because eventually you work so hard to try to pay it off that you end up stretching yourself out. And then you end up truly under the ground, buried, dead. And then that depth gets pushed onto hell the next kin. And it's that cycle that like just keeps repeating. So it's the whole like legal fiction trap, which like literally holds no merit. And I think that's one of the other, you know, symbolic representations that we see when it comes to, you know, to the whole zombie mindset, is this whole government system, this whole court system, this whole legal fiction argument, which is not even an argument. It's a straight fiction. Like it's just a belief system that literally has no power, but people buy into it and they think that you have to do it, you know, but they don't understand the inherent immoral and deception that comes along with it, because you could never truly hand over your sovereignty. You can never truly inherently write something on a piece of paper to enslave yourself or to enslave your own kids or to enslave your grandkids, because at the end of the day, it's always immorally wrong. So then therefore you can't write anything on paper that can turn wrongs into a right. And that's the whole meaning of, you know, the pen is greater than the sword, because we've got people to believe that you can scribble something down on paper and then it can turn wrongs into rights.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. That one's awesome. Well said, Brandon. I loved it. And that's what I love about this group, guys. I really do. It's so many unique ways, like angles that people bring in. It's all different. So I that's what I really enjoy about this group, is that we have, you know, six people coming at it from different ways, but really dissecting the topic that we choose. And this was a good one. This is one that I think about, like I was saying, all the time when I think about, when I see groups of people just massing. And then you guys even dive deeper into that with the cell phones. And it just, you can really, when you start putting thought into it, really start to see. And I never even thought of, like, when you go shopping and you see the people around you. And I know in my town, there's even a, like, you drive downtown and we even have a street that we call Nod Alley, because you drive down the street and it's where all the drug addicts are just kind of shuffling along, and they're like, they look like zombies when you look at them. They're just kind of shuffling along and they're all slunched over, and some are asleep and standing up. It's really messed up. And so I'm glad that Jerry brought up the drug side of it, because I think that's really important. I think that that's something that needs to be talked about even more, because they're giving a lot of people a lot of powerful drugs that are definitely having some crazy effects on people, and you're starting to see it. And it was like Chris was saying, you know, you drug people like this, you're so easy to control then. And it's like, it's their perfect plan. Like, why wouldn't it be? If you can drug people to the point where they are and they're so easily controlled, then why wouldn't you do that? So this was a great conversation, guys. And I would just want, I'm going to end with saying, you don't want to be part of the horde, guys. Like, you don't want to be a part of this horde. And what's great is that we all have the ability to seek out information and to learn and to actually critically think. People have to start taking advantage of this ability that we have, and we use it. You can start critically thinking. And then it's like what you guys were saying, it starts with doing the work on yourself. I talk about this all the time because it's so important. You need to learn what real rights are. You need to learn what morality is. And, you know, you need to realize that they're lying to you. The social media and the social engineers are lying to you. And they're tuning into your emotions. They're manipulating your emotions and getting you to do and react how they want, which is, you have to be aware of. And I will just end with saying, you don't be afraid and don't be scared to stand tall in the middle of this zombie horde that's going on and saying, you know, no. That's our most powerful word. No, you don't be scared to be in the middle of the group and be the one that does stand up and say no. And I would just want to end with that.
Nice. Kensington, Philadelphia, that's one of those really bad spots in America that Jerry brought up before. And they have like live streams on YouTube. It's very disturbing to watch. It's like just to see. It's like next level. Like, discovered that a couple of years ago. I was just really disturbed by it. I don't really have too much more to say about zombies, but I remember when I got married early on, I married an African girl, and she came to America, and it was around Halloween, and then she was freaking out because she was like, why, like, people turn their front yards into cemeteries, like, why, what the hell's that about, you know? And it's always funny to like witness our culture through her eyes. And so I got to see a lot of, like, made me think, like, oh yeah, that is pretty messed up, isn't it, you know? And talking about like just zombie shows, like, why is it that that's normal? It's like normalized. If you really like sit back and like think about it, like, we need to imagine a better way of, like, we're not using our intelligence correctly that this is like popular in our culture. Like, then what are we gonna get if that's cool? Like, that's just weird. weird. Zombies thing is weird. But anyway, now she kind of woke me up, and now she's on the Trump train. So she became more of an American than, you know, we're not married anymore. So, but yeah, I'll pass it to Jerry. That was a cool conversation. Get people thinking about what the whole zombie thing is going on there.
Thank you, Jim. It reminded me of the whole situation going on in America where immigrants are coming in, you know, obviously from foreign countries, and they're just kind of causing massive chaos in the U.S., like gangs are freaking taking over apartments, this and that. So that's what it reminded me of. And, you know, they love it because, like, government is backing them up, right? They're like, yeah, we don't give a shit, you know, cause violence, we don't care. And, like, the people who actually live there, they're just, you know, getting their butts kicked out of them. It's ridiculous. And what I did want to talk about in my second round was about social media zombies, right? How, because today, like, I'm walking down the street and I'm waiting at, I don't know, I could be waiting for a bus, and like literally everyone around me is looking at their phones with their heads down. And it just reminds me of, oh yeah, like how the videos I've seen of how bad that is for you to just look down. Like, we're not supposed to, like, we're supposed to look straight, right? So I've been in the habit of, you know, if I'm going to listen to something, like, I'm going to pause, I'm going to do what I got to do, and then I'm going to continue. But I mean, I don't walk with my head down. That it's really zombifying. It's scary. And the live streaming thing, yeah, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that because I've seen that once, but it's good to keep in mind, like, you know, you're missing out on life if you're too connected to your device. And the whole propaganda is coming through, it's coming to you through the TV, through your cell phone, social media. And before this recording, I was actually watching a video on a parent who, he was at his kid's competition, let's call it wrestling. And, you know, the kid's about 2 minutes away from winning something very serious. And he gets a notification on his phone and he just has to go look at it. And then by the time he's done looking at it, everybody's clapping, right? Because his son had won. And he looks at his son and the son looks back at him with disappointed because he was not even paying attention. And what I'm saying is, like, this whole zombie concept with the drugs, the social media, it's destroying lives, it's destroying families, the parents, right? Because as Brandon said, like, zombie parents are going to breed zombie kids. And how long have we been enslaved? Since eons, right? So I mean, we've got to break the cycle. And it starts by being aware of, are these patterns, right? Pattern recognition, and then changing, because we're going to change no matter what. So we might as well change our inner world, have these boundaries where we don't get affected by these viruses because they spread like wildfire. And then we can, you know what also I thought of? Remember that video you guys sent? There's like two of them. I think I've seen the first where it's this one person and he's surrounded just by like these demons, like, and they basically tackle, like, they're all on top of him. And then he,
are you talking about Kingdom?
I'm talking about Kingdom.
The one, that's, you know, in shadow. Yeah. The directors of it.
Yeah. That's what it reminded me of. Just, we have that power, guys. Like, it's not to snap out of it. And then I might just end with a quote here. So let's see. Let's see. The zombie myth has been widely appropriated by American pop culture in a way that whitewashes its origins and turns the undead into a platform for escapist fantasy. Let's not use this media for escapism. Let's use it to put the word of truth out there. So I'll pass it to you, Chris.
Thanks, Jerry. Wonderful observations. And I like the way you put things together right there. Appreciate that. I also have a little quote I grabbed. Somebody named Stephen Graham Jones said, "Most zombie stories, the problems they solve are not the actual zombies. The problems they solve are the human interactions." And we think about it like, I did watch somewhat of The Walking Dead. You know, I remember when that came out and was keep watching it for a while. Yeah, like the zombie thing becomes just like a constant issue. It's like the normal buzz. But the real problems then are like the way, talk about, Brandon was saying dog-eat-dog world, the people start turning on one another doing really malicious things to save themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's when the really sinister aspect comes out. And, you know, people that are moral relativists like to tout that human nature is evil and human nature is bad. People that like to advocate for political power and more laws and more military are the same people that think their own brother and sister are the, can be the enemy in a moment's notice. You know, this whole idea of people turning, you know, from one thing to another in an instant. Like you hear people talk about relationships like this, like, you know, when I got together with this person, they seemed like a really nice person. Then you just turned, became something else. It's like, so you never noticed, you know, the indicators. You didn't have the discernment up front, you know, and when we really like look down in our personal lives, I think we can really see how this works. And let me give you some examples. Have you ever been driving to somewhere you don't normally go, and then you find yourself making the turns on the path that you normally go, like to work, and then you realize, oh crap, I'm not going to work today. It's Saturday. I shouldn't have turned that way. But you're kind of in this zombie state of mind that you're sort of hypnotized. You're just used to doing the same thing every day. You've been conditioned into a rut. And that's exactly what society has going on a large scale. We as humans, whether purposeful or by routine of doing the wrong thing, have created ruts and routines that we do thoughtlessly. And we put ourselves in these positions where we fall victim and prey to like getting tickets on the road from cops, who is such a weird thing. You know, you have people that are getting paid from my own energy who are out there being paid to feed on me, to tax me, you know, for making slight mistakes, not even things that are necessarily harmful to other things that could maybe potentially be harmful to others. And they're taking this excuse to prey on me. And in like, you know, look at the movie, like there's been a couple made of the soccer team that crash into the Andes Mountains in a plane, and their situation is so desperate that they wind up having to cannibalize the dead, you know, which is like the scariest, one of the worst primal, our instincts deep down tell us like, that's not a good thing to do. You really don't want to be in that scenario. So what we're doing with this motif and the zombie metaphor is we're bringing that scenario to day to day. And we're imagining as if, nope, that's the state of mind we're in all the time. When are you in the state of mind when you can't have higher functions to consider the right and wrong or morality of things? When you don't have a chance? When you're in a last minute scenario, when you're getting into a crash, when you're overwhelmed and you can't reach that higher functioning aspect of the brain, you're in the lowest functioning part of your brain, which is the base, the spinal kind of lizard brain, it's called, right? It's not connecting the two hemispheres, the right and left hemispheres, and creating this holistic understanding of combining logical thinking and then intuitive thinking. No, this is where we need to be when a rock's flying at our head or there's someone who's actively trying to kill us. We don't have time for all that crap. Our brain actually shuts down consciousness and says, no, we're either fighting or we're running right now. That's a fight or flight. And so anybody that understands mind control or keeping people in that lizard brain helps give you this ability to kind of use your full functioning brain and think about the big picture and the context. And you got these idiots fighting each other and running around like crazed lizards because they don't have the ability to reach higher functioning brain process. How do you keep the public like that? With drugs? by poisoning the atmosphere, by poisoning the water, by poisoning their thoughts through the media, by poisoning their minds with political fervor, by creating miracles in time, you know, and creating religions and false belief structures for people to bind themselves to, you know, like a spell, you know. So all these different ways of getting people separated from what's the body of Christ, the bread, you know, is symbolically the bread. You know, you eat the bread, right? No, we're going to eat the brains of the people. You're not going to develop the brains until they can think better. We're just going to munch them down. You know, it's like a lower way of thinking. It's bringing everything to the lowest common denominator and forcing people into a pen until they actually do want to practically cannibalize one another because they don't have ability to think past that level. So, you know, this is really an expression artistically that we can look at it a positive way. We can look at it as an urge for us as humans to review our place on this planet and with each other and ask ourselves, do we have the ability to transcend this low level of thinking and be shocked by it and be awakened by it and be like, wait, we don't want to be like that. No, that's not the type of hero motif we want to put out there. We want to be awakened beings who have individual creative selves that aren't following the crowd and dragging our feet and drooling and eating one another's brains. Instead, we're like looking for things to develop our brains and grow our brains and contribute to the individual differences and variances that nature naturally wants to provide for us, you know? So I would encourage people to look for hope, you know. I think this is like coming from a burnout of people too, like even in the truth movement, they're burned out. They're spiritually, mentally, physically burned the fuck out. And they just want to give up, you know, and that's the zombie motif too. You know, it's talking about all of us. So I want you to take it personally. Be offended by the zombie motif. Let it hurt deep inside and ask yourself, is this where we're going? Is this what we want for our grandchildren? How do we renew the enlightenment process of pushing ourselves to this higher brain functioning to where we can zoom our tune our brain antenna into higher thought processes instead of getting sucked into the horde? So yeah, that's about where I want to cut it off for myself. And I open the floor to anyone else who wants to add a little bit and a last round, short round, but we're getting close to the end of this conversation. And I really appreciate everyone's, the slides you guys have put together and the thoughts you've put together in the last weeks. I'm really encouraged by the hard work of this whole group. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah, it was kind of fun to just get off the track of just, you know, the normal topics of, you know, natural law and that good, right? Which, you know, we can obviously apply because, you know, we can see things apophatically or, you know, just like the contrast of, you know, ignorance or, you know, whatever. And we're trying to, you know, bring forth the undeadening because, you know, we're pretty sick of, you know, seeing people sleepwalk through life, you know, just being a shit stain on the draws of life in society type of shit. Like, what are people really aspiring to do? And, you know, it's like, you know, in the Eastern tradition, Indian, Vedic rather, of, you know, where's their purpose? You know, they haven't figured out their dharma and that kind of stuff, which, you know, ain't going to do much for their karma. But, yeah, it's just, it's unfortunate that, you know, people are so distracted, like distracted from the right trains of tracks of, you know, thoughts and considerations for themselves and that really have proper gnosis of themselves. But, you know, just can't wait for Monday Night Football or Sunday, or now it's fucking like almost every day, whatever the fuck. Why? Because of money. And why is anything being produced now or being talked about? Because of fucking money. People are making shit tons of money, and there's like fantasy leagues and like all types of stuff where, yeah, it's just more screen time in front of the black slab or, you know, the, whatever kind of screen that's taken us away from the proper center screen, as Mari West talks about that in regards to trans surfing and, you know, being outside of the fucking matrix, you know, all that shit. I mean, back in the days, it was more humble times, and, you know, we didn't have all this, you know, crazy technology, right? Just a simple television. And, you know, rest in peace to Terrence McKenna. And thinking about him and how he spoke about that, you know, decades ago of, you know, just he's talking about things like, you know, your average American, you know, sits in a larval state on the couch, at least, you know, imbibing, you know, television scriptures for 6 hours on average in these households across the nation. Like, 6 hours? That's almost a whole damn, like, work shift, you know? Like, damn, you know, like, change the channel or, you know, cut the cord. Anyways, so that's interesting, you know, and yeah, just the whole thing with people being hooked on video games. Yeah, I used to, you know, play video games quite a bit, especially when you get them dopamine hits and all that stuff, which is what I read. It's kind of contrary to acting. You know, you see these people that, you know, especially with just like with social media and this and that, and like they have such a cool personality in the digital world, but, you know, like, they lack the social skills and they're not really animated or much alive, you know, when you're talking to them face to face. You notice that sometimes because there's, you know, they're, hey, you know, like, it's, yeah, like muscle memory and all this other, you know, entangled conundrums of this. But, y'all mentioned, you know, I popped in some slides of just, you know, we're coming up like 2 months from now, turkey time and, you know, Black Friday or Whack Friday, as I like to call it, with the just like, yeah, Sprawl Mart, you know, people literally like, you know, pretend, you know, as if they're in some kind of rave concert, you know.
Hey, Derek, is Sprawl Mart one of those corporations?
Yeah. Oh shit!
That is crazy though. When you see people dive through the door and trample each other through the store, it's like, wow. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like, what's in your head? In your head,
exactly.
Yeah. Last thing I'm gonna end on I've never been once bitten. And I don't know if you saw that movie with Jim Carrey, like older movie, like back in his like In Living Color days, I think. Just the name of the movie cracks me up, but and his, you know, like funny comical face. But, you know, like I've kind of seen, you know, similarities with, you know, the vampire and zombie tropes and motifs and all that. And, you know, it just all goes back to, you know, they need to feed off of other, you know, life force energy to sustain their own shit because, you know, they can't really, you know, even deal with the fucking light. You know, they usually come out at, you know, the freaks come out at night, right? Whatever the fuck. So things to consider. And like, oh, once you get bitten or whatever, or we fall off the path or what, or all that stuff, or you pitch a tent on the mountain of, you know, truth or whatever, it could be, you know, whatever degree. People always say like, oh, you're stuck halfway in between. Well, like, is really that, you know, black and white? But, you know, that's not the point. The point is to not be, you know, taken under and be assimilated into the mob, into the cult mentality, into all these things that are just, you know, making people unconscious when they actually think they're being awake and conscious. When, you know, like, it's the same thing with the fucking Matrix stuff, the simulacra and simulation. How many times have you seen like the same meme being, you know, shuffled around on and on? And like, it's almost like a new type of groupthink. It's like almost taken away some of the critical thinking. And I've noticed and had interactions with people that I have respect for and, you know, consider them to be quite knowledgeable and aware of certain things, you know, questioning certain, like, hey, like, I don't think that's necessarily right. And like, people want to let the memes talk for them nowadays. Like, what's going on? You know, like, we got to be more creative, especially in the face of AI. We're the fucking true activated individuals, AI, you know, like activated intuition. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to leave y'all with. And voila.
You know, you brought up the you know, the phrase "once bitten." Well, sadly, you know, we all have bitten off that forbidden fruit of technology. You know, because that's like the one thing that's, you know, keeping the zombie craze going. And, you know, that's where I'll end.
That's very true. And I'll just add, too, that I say this so often, is that we've never had the ability to gather information like we have now. Like, we have the tools now to just access so much information. And that has always been my goal. Is I'm always trying to learn something or improve myself and trying to stay away from what they try to deviate you to, which is these stupid TikTok videos and these things that mean nothing. And so I just want to encourage people, like, you know, it always does start with yourself, and you have the ability to seek out this information and start doing this work on yourself. And that is, I think, amazing. I think that people should really start taking advantage of that, because the information is out there if you choose to seek it and choose to learn and internalize it and start working on yourself. And then if you do that, you're going to quickly see that you're not part of this horde of zombies and this zombie thing. You very quickly, or at least I did, and I know a lot of people I've talked to have, is when you start doing this inner work and really figuring things out internally with yourself, and then that projects outwards, that you start to really see the lies that they've been put forward, you know, that have been put over top of truth. And
propagated.
How it's been propagated, and you see it very quickly, and then it's kind of weird because you can't unsee it. So then you start getting to the point where you're like, wow. And then it's shocking when you're around people that don't see it and they buy into it. It's a really, that took some adjusting, and I still struggle with that, because I do have people in my life that just, they don't see it. They really don't understand what I mean. Like, a lot of the times when I talk to them, they kind of get it, but they, you know, in certain things, but they don't get the full picture. And I just think it's so obvious that what's going on. So that's what I'll end with. You take advantage of this time, because we may lose it very soon. Like, it's a very special time for gathering information that's out there. And they're doing their best to get rid of the good information and fill it, just swamp us with nonsense. So, you know, access it while you can. Use technology for good.
Yeah, like, it's ultimately, it's about valuing life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like, you brought up those In Shadow and Kingdom. I think people should watch those little shorts. And, you know, like, every presentation I've created, I've thought a lot in the beginning about how to encourage the person to recognize the value of being able to make decisions, the right value of having life and being here. You're the newest technology of the universe, and you can change and affect reality, which is a godlike power, you know, that the universe has granted to you this opportunity. So, you know, value the freedom of choices,
mm-hmm,
is the ultimate lesson. We can learn from the zombies. Don't become a zombie, and let's work on revitalizing humanity. This is a call to reclaim humanity, and we need your help, folks. You know, and for that, you're going to have to face the reality that we're in. And respect and value life. You know, don't be desensitized, because that's what they're trying to do to you. Thanks so much for listening, folks. This is another fantastic One Great Work Warriors tap link can be accessed. Derek has done a great job of putting together that. And so we'll share that link, and you can see all our past work, and join us in the future. Thanks for coming.
Part two coming up next month.
All right, part two.
Yeah, yeah, we'll follow this up with the roundtable. So hopefully some folks can come in, and
that'll be awesome.
Their take, and if there's any more slides out there or representations people want to share with us, can either share it through the Telegram group or at chris@chrisjansen.com. Thanks so much, guys. Have a good night.